Matthew 25 and verse 29, I'm going to read it. It says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Matthew 25:29. We're discussing stewardship of finances. Stewardship of finances, or the stewardship of money. I love this particular story. It makes me smile every time I remember it. Of the man who just accepted Jesus into his life, became a Christian, and went for water baptism. When it was his turn to be baptized, he stepped into the water, walked toward the pastor, and remembered something. So he turned. The pastor said, "Stop there. It is either I baptize you and your money, or I don't baptize you at all in this place today," because the man remembered his purse was in his pocket. So he wanted to remove the purse and to give his friend. My pastor said, "Stop. Because some people are born again, but their money is not. They have given their life to Jesus, but they don't want to give their money." So when you talk about money in church, they're not happy. Back to the subject. The secret of increase or reduction in the volume of money that we handle is in stewardship. Some people experience increase. The last 20, 30 years of my life, I've experienced increase in the volume of money that God has given me to manage, both as an individual and as a leader and a manager of resources. Some people, for some people, it's not that they've not seen money before, but they've gone down on the decrease. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the problem has to do with stewardship. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of talents. The master gave someone 5 talents, gave another 1, 2, gave somebody 1. And the Bible says that he gave each of them according to their ability. When he came back, the guy with 5 talents said, "I've made 5 more. The one with 2 said, "I've made 2 more. He responded the same way. Matthew 25:21 says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things.'" So he went from few to many. He said, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." Money is always being redistributed. Always being redistributed. When you look at verse 29 that we started from, it says, "For to everyone that has, more will be given." Money is always being redistributed by God. "Take the talent from him," he said, the one man with 1 talent. He said, "Take it from him and give it to the man that has 10. Then he said, "For to him that has, more will be given. From him that has not, even what he has, the little bit that he's supposed to have, it will be taken away from him." Redistribution is always taking place. And in God's economy, the first can become the last, and the last can become the first. The city is filled, the country is filled with ex-millionaires. And there are loads of new millionaires. It's redistribution that is taking place. And it happens on the basis of stewardship. Many financial problems, I didn't say all, but many financial problems are rooted in stewardship issues. Christ said a lot about money. So if we want to learn how to be good stewards of money, we have a lot to learn from the Lord. In fact, Jesus spoke more about money than any other subject. It's hypocritical people that refuse to see that. And there's a reason why. See? Jesus spoke more about money, because some people say, why is it that these pastors talk about money all the time? Talk about heaven. Talk about hell. Well, Jesus spoke more about money than he spoke about heaven and hell combined. Why? I believe the secret is in Luke 16:11. He said, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he was talking about money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The implication, money in God's economy is the best test of a man's character. Money is the best test of character. If you fail on the money issue, you will likely fail elsewhere. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he said, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So the beautiful thing that you see there is the realization that in God's economy, riches are committed to our trust. Riches are committed to our trust, but it's on the basis of our faithfulness. So a few lessons on the stewardship of money. Number one, God owns everything. Resolve that in your heart. Everything belongs to God. I know it's very easy for us to lay claim on the money. My money, give me my money. Where is my money? What are you doing with my money? But ultimately, the man that carried it too far, Jesus shared his story in Luke chapter 12. The man that planted in 1 year, his ground or his farm brought forth crops in abundance. He said, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. He said, then I will say to my soul, relax, eat, and be merry. And Jesus said, God spoke from heaven and said, you're a fool. So tonight, the soul that you are claiming is yours. We need it in heaven. So you can have the rest, okay? Take everything else. God said, so all those things that you stored up, whose will they be? So the money is not yours. It's just committed to your trust. So God owns everything. He only commits financial resources to our trust. But I want to say here today that if you do your part, play the money game God's way, God will not fail you. He will do his part. Let me draw on the story of a man in the Bible who could stand clearly and say, I was faithful. His name, Jacob. Genesis 31. Verses 38 to 42. Genesis 31, verses 38 to 42. Jacob had been with his uncle, Laban, serving in his house. Then one day, God told him, move. He left. So his uncle ran after him. It was when they met that Jacob said this. Genesis 31, from verse 38. These 20 years, I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young. And I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus, I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me empty-handed. You would have sent me away empty-handed. He said, God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. I want to assure someone, if you do your part, do it God's way. You don't steal, you don't scheme, you don't cheat. God will take care of you. No devil will be able to impoverish you. This guy had one of the most difficult employers anybody could have. You know the story. that somewhere along the line, the guy said, I've served you enough. I want to go. The man said, don't go. I can see it's because of you God is blessing me. Name your wages. Then the man labored and said, okay, this will be your wages. All the animals that are spotted, speckled, ring-streaked will be yours. And he knew those were the skinny ones. Hungry looking. And they were few in number. The Bible says that he separated them from the fat looking ones, the fresh looking ones. He separated them by 3 days' journey so that they would not mate by mistake with the fat looking ones. He wanted to keep Jacob in poverty. He wanted to keep him in slavery. But when you read Genesis chapters 30 and 31, you will see it. Jacob said, I had a dream in the night. I saw spotted and speckled animals mating with the fresh-looking, plain-colored ones in my dream. He said, the angel of the Lord spoke to me and said, Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, where you made a vow to me. What was the vow Jacob made? If you bless me, I will give you a tithe of everything that you give me. So he said, the angel of God said, lift up your eyes and look. There are spotted and speckled animals that are mating with the plain colored ones. I will bless you. So, while Jacob was plotting to make Jacob, while Laban was plotting to make Jacob poor, God imported spotted animals from the realm of the spirit to mate with the plain colored ones. When plain colored cows gave birth to children, they were spotted against the laws of nature. You cannot impoverish the man that God has decided to prosper. There are loads of young people destroying their destinies right now, especially in our own environment, giving the environment as an excuse. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. To prosper in this country, you have to do this. There are people cutting deals, padding invoices, cheating their employers, and they don't know they are cheating themselves. What you don't realize is you may have a boss in the physical. That's not the ultimate boss. The fulfillment of your destiny does not depend on your physical boss. There's another boss. He's the ultimate boss. When he prospers, you know devil can keep you down. Did I hear you say amen? Amen. Jacob said, 10 times you changed my salary. He said, except that if God had not been with me, except that God was with me, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, said, you would have sent me away empty-handed, but you cannot. He said, my God appeared to you in the dream last night. He rebuked you on my sake. I'm saying here in Jesus' name, any devil that wants to hold anything that belongs to you, God will rebuke them on your behalf. Amen. Some people will lose their seats for your sake. Amen. If they want to stop you, and God has decided to prosper and bless you, they are wasting their time. You do your part, God will do his own. Do your part, God will do his own. Walk the principles. Walk the principles. I had an interesting experience with God many years ago. You know, it was about the time that this church was starting. And there was a lot of money in the spirit realm. In the physical, we were trusting God. So I went to preach somewhere. I preached. At the end, you know, the first day, they said, God bless you. They gave me juice. I drank it. I went home. I went the second day. I preached. Now my job was done. And then they said, we thank you. They gave me more juice. Said, God bless you. And sent me home like that. Not, I said, wow. Amazing. I thought you were supposed to give honorarium to someone who spoke. What's going on? So the next day at home, I was praying and I reported them to God. I said, Lord, they didn't give me anything. He said, yes, so? I said, no. The Bible says, do not muzzle the ox that treads the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit said, yes, true. And who did I say there was supposed to pay the laborer? I said, oh, I didn't think about that. Wait, The laborer is worthy of his wages. I said, well, the person that employed him, he said, good. So why are you looking at fellow laborers to pay you? I employed you. He said, when I ask you to go somewhere to preach, go there, do the preaching. I will choose how to bless you. Some, they may bless you. They may not bless you. Just do the job. He said, I will pay you. Nothing more liberating than that. God said he will pay me. He has been paying me, my brother. His own pay is better. I'm just simply saying, walk this thing God's way. Walk God's system. Walk God's principles. God owns everything. He is the one that commits them to our trust. So, that's stewardship lesson number one. Jacob demonstrated first-class stewardship. If you cannot trust God, it is inevitable you will go into scheming. And ultimately, you will box yourself into a corner. Luke 16, verses 1 and 2. Luke 16, verses 1 and 2. Jesus speaking. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. Your stewardship can be terminated. Bear that in mind. God can terminate a person's stewardship. I pray in the name of Jesus that your stewardship will not be terminated. Amen. There are people who had money before who don't have any more. Things can change at short notice for that matter. Next, I want us to pick some stewardship lessons from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 6. I'll pick the verses as we go downwards. So let me read first verses 6 to 8 of 1 Timothy 6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with this we shall be content. Learn contentment. Very important lesson number one. If you will ever manage money well, God's way, you have to be someone that has discovered the secret of being content. Someone that is not desperate for money. Learn contentment. How do you gain contentment? He said, having them food and raiment. Define what your basic needs are. Some people have not made the difference between needs and wants. Between their basic needs and things that are luxury. Once your basic needs are met, you are fine. And the basic needs, food, drink, clothes, shelter. Define your basic needs. Anything beyond that is extra. Give God thanks for them. When they are there, use them. When they are not there, stay fine. I hear Christians quote Philippians 4:13 a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't pick only verse 13 out. Read the previous verse. Because Paul the Apostle said, I have learned both how to abound and how to abase. I've learned how to have surplus and how to have nothing. He said, I'm okay. Either way, I can do all things. That's the one he's talking about, not just anything. Your basic need is food. Rice is rice. It's just that you can eat rice at a side canteen or restaurant. You can also eat rice in a 5-star hotel. The prices are different. Am I right? But rice is rice. The basic need that you are trying to meet is hunger.
Everything else is packaging. So when you can afford the 5-star hotel, use it. Now, excuse me. Don't say, you see, Pastor Sam is making sense. What is it? What is it? Is it Pastor? It's just the rug. Is the AC? Yes, AC is good. Don't give yourself excuse for poverty. I don't like such arguments. When you can afford it, use it. Enjoy it. What I'm just saying is, if you've been used to enjoying it, and it just so happens that maybe the income goes down, you can't afford it, don't build your esteem on it. Don't begin to move around and be mourning. Like a disaster happened to your life. The challenge with that is people will be thinking, what will people say? What will people say? If they see me eating in so and so place, what will people say? Or if they see me eating what I was not eating before, or they see me driving a car I was not driving, what will people say? What will people not say? Leave your size part-time. Use the resources that you have part-time. You don't owe them anything. They were not there when your destiny was designed. You don't owe them anything. Don't, in the bid to impress them, destroy yourself. Because there are loads of people like that. They've crashed big time. Because they're trying to sustain that facade and to impress people. If you are smart, you know. When you buy a Mercedes car, God gives you the grace to buy a Mercedes car. You are not buying it for transportation. You don't buy Mercedes for transportation. You buy it for prestige, for ego. If it's only transportation, buy Toyota. Buy Kia. Buy Kia Picanto. It will move you from here to there. Yeah. So if they employ you at the Mercedes dealership to sell Mercedes, you better understand when people walk into the room that it is not transportation they are looking for. It's esteem. It's ego. So you supply the things that make them feel good. They have the money. They can afford it. They won't mind. But when you cannot afford to sustain the Mercedes anymore, sell it. Adjust comfortably. Because another cycle will come. Then you will buy the new model. Instead of dying with the old model. If you will ever manage resources God's way, you must learn contentment. And when it comes to your basic needs, God says He will take care of them. Matthew 6 from verse 25. Don't worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. He says your Heavenly Father knows that you need those things. And in verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. When you live this way, you deliver yourself from desperation and from stress. When your own needs have been taken care of, please be part of the building of systems that ensure that people's basic needs are met. The structure of church, New Testament church that I read in Acts chapter 2, those people made sure nobody went to bed hungry in the church. Basic needs had to be met. People even sold their lands and sold their houses. That's our philosophy in our church. Nobody should go to bed hungry in our church. If you have a church where people are going to bed hungry, it's an irresponsible church. It's not New Testament. Then you will find out that countries that really prosper and advance, they usually have systems that ensure that nobody goes to bed hungry. At least food they will give people. Be part of the building of such systems. Next, prioritize God over money. Prioritize God. Give God priority over money. You cannot serve God and mammon. Luke 16:13. Don't let money control your thoughts, control your values, control your decision making. Give God priority in your thinking over money. Next, I take this from 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness. They have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Whew. What's the point here? Manage your appetite for money. The way we have appetite for food, appetite for drink, appetite for this, appetite for that, that's the way we have appetite for money. In our country, I realize we have very large appetites for money because we tie our esteem to it. Temper your appetite for money. Because Paul the Apostle says, there is a spirit that follows it. It's the spirit of greed. Temper it. Kill your greed before greed kills you. Money, when you pray for money, you better realize what you are praying for. It comes with new opportunities to do crazy things. Like I say, there are sins you have not committed, not because you are holy, but because you cannot afford them. Have you noticed? If your income doubles, the next time you visit a shop, it's amazing how clothes and shoes, things that you could not afford before, will be speaking to you. It's not that they didn't speak to you before. You didn't hear them. Now they'll be talking to you. Buy me. Buy me. You couldn't buy me before. Buy me now. You can afford me now. Buy me. You need to prove something. You need to prove that your status has changed. And you need to shame the devil. You need to shame poverty. Buy me. You too, you'll be buying until the money finishes. Because you are trying to prove something to yourself or to the devil. Temptations come with money. You will be amazed the idea Satan will give you once you develop the capacity to afford. Temptations you did not think of before. Sins that you did not think of before. Crazy things. If you don't kill greed before money comes, it won't solve your problem. It will amplify it. Manage your appetite for money. Next, obey God in the use of money. Obey God in the use of money. There are loads of things that the Bible identifies that God sanctions for us to do with money. But He says we should honor Him first. He wants us to pay our tithes. He wants us to give our offerings. He wants us to invest in His kingdom to keep His work going. You read Haggai chapter 1. It says, you guys, you notice, you go, you farm, you bring them home, and there is nothing. He said, I've been blowing it away. He said, you are building paneled houses for yourselves. You left my own house in ruins. That's why when you go out and gather, you come home, it comes to nothing. God wants us to put Him first. Next, God wants us to take care of our families. You read 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, if you have a widow in your family and there are people there that can sustain the widow, let them sustain the widow. Don't let the widow become the responsibility of the church. But if there's a widow that nobody can take care of, then let the church take care of them. And then that famous verse in 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone that does not take care of his own household has denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. Yeah, that verse that women used to beat their Christian husbands on the head. But the general principle there is, as a responsible Christian, take care of your family. Another one, pay your workers. If you are an employer, pay them. James chapter 5 verse 4 says that the cry of the wages of the workers that mowed your field, which you refuse to pay, has entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. The Lord of Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts. That's the fighting part of God. Somebody worked for you, you didn't pay the person. It says if they cry, God will hear. The money you are keeping will cry. They can block your provision from heaven. If you can't afford to pay someone, don't hire the person. What else? God wants us to take care of our parents. Say, honor your father and your mother. Take care of your parents. Give to those in need around you. God expects that. God expects us to pay our taxes. Romans 13. Pay tax. And this one is also important. Leave a legacy. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Not just his children, children's children. You leave good character and you leave money and material resources. Very important. Leave them a good name. Leave a legacy. Think beyond now. Think of tomorrow in the allocation of your financial resources. My time is up. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. If you want to kill greed, this is my recommendation. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. That's how to kill greed. Do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to do what? To give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You kill greed through giving. You send the message to Satan and to money. You won't be my God. You cannot be my source, and I'm not going to serve you. I'm only going to use you to fulfill God's purposes. Satan said to Jesus, the Bible says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, and all the glory, the beauty thereof, and said to him, all these I will give you if you will do what? Bow down and watch. Satan wants to take your worship in exchange for wealth. What did Jesus say? Satan, I can't take the fake when there is original. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Only him you shall serve. When you give the money away, you are expressing absolute trust in God. Money and the spirit behind it, mammon, hears the message clear. Money cannot be my source. Giving is the key. And when you look in the Bible, you see various dimensions of giving. We won't go into the details today. I close on this note. I find out there are many people in town today that are concerned about what the church does with its money. Really, really concerned. On God's behalf. Very concerned. I understand their perspective. Because there are dishonest leaders in church. And it is not new. They've always been. You've always had dishonest and greedy religious leaders. Example. Luke 16 verse 14 says, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money also heard all these things and they derided him. So those were the religious leaders in the day of Jesus. And the Bible says they were lovers of money. Jesus used to take them on. He took on their doctrines. They used to get deep revelations. Each of them had to do with money and how to squeeze more out of people's pockets. Example, Jesus took them up one day. He said, you people tell people that whatever it is you are supposed to give to your parents, if you name it Korban, which means a gift to God, they said it is acceptable. Thief. Honor your father and your mother. Take care of your parents. Said, if you bring it instead to church, we will sanctify it. It is okay for you not to take care of your prayer. As long as it is church you bring the money to, that's a thief. With a deep revelation. So we understand the concern, but everybody is not a thief. So our encouragement is don't cry more than the believed. If anybody is messing up God's resources, he has a way of terminating their stewardship. Have you noticed? It's not every church that was in town 20 years ago that is still here. He loves his sheep. He has a way of taking them elsewhere. Leave him. Let him take care of his sheep. Don't work on the assumption that those of us that give in the church are foolish people. Your problem is you are looking at the pastor. It's not pastor we came to worship. We came to worship God. We have a covenant with him. When we give, it's him we're giving our resources. And he's the one that guarantees our promotion. Did I hear amen to that? And today, in the name of Jesus, I declare over everyone here that subscribes to do this money thing God's way. I prophesy by the Spirit of the living God. Poverty can never catch up with you again. In Mark chapter 10, from verse 29, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. He said, but many that are first will be last and the last will be first. I announce the arrival of new millionaires. I announce the arrival of new billionaires. As God redistributes resources in this country, I declare in Jesus' name, the resources are coming in your direction. I am announcing today, everyone who has been misusing resources in this country, their time has expired. Listen, this country has more money than what is in circulation now. God will not release the real wealth of this country while thieves are managing the resources. There's more coming. This country was designed to be a developed country. So there's change coming. But I'm prophesying it is coming in your favor. Yeah. If you sign up to do it God's way, I am declaring, as it was for Jacob, so it is for you. No system built by man, fueled by the devil, will ever be able to impoverish you. Joseph came into Egypt as a slave. Then he landed in prison. When God's time came, prison to palace, I'm announcing your supernatural promotion. I have tested God. I have proven him. In this same country, economy go down, economy come up, doesn't matter. Personally, I've been on ascension. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus, you will never go down. Amen. And I am declaring that your resources are coming on a global dimension. Amen. Beyond the capacity of the economy of this country, your resources will show up. Heaven will open doors of favor for you. Amen. Anyone who has no stagnation here, that stagnation ends today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. No curse can survive the release of the power of God here today. No curse from anywhere. Any negative statement made by anyone that has affected you, I stand by the blood of Jesus to declare it is dissolved. Amen. Nobody will be powerful enough to stop you. Amen. From today. Amen. Angels go to work on your behalf. Amen. Whatever belongs to you is coming to you now. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will get ideas from heaven. Amen. You will get instructions from God. Amen. Heaven will give you the courage. Amen. To go where you need to go. Amen. To do what you need to do. Amen. To say what you need to say. The first shall be the last shall be the first. I declare many that were called last before today have become first now. Welcome to your new status. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Daystar, raising role models.